name. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing here at this place called Calvary, Lord. We just lift up our missionary, Stephen Carroll. Let perfect peace, perfect safety, Lord, perfect provision, and let everything fall right into place for them, oh Father. But also, Lord, this morning we do pray over Connor, and we pray over little Camlin, and Lord, over Marie with a possible exposure to COVID, Lord. And right now they are in quarantine. They're isolating. Lord, please let that wicked variant, let it stay away from the people of Calvary. Let it just stay away from us. Lord, put up that invisible, wonderful barrier of your, that hedge, that spiritual hedge. And let no wicked thing, no plague come nigh our dwelling. And Lord, this morning, this word, I pray for the sheep of your pasture, O God, the living word, let it be so powerful in their hearts, and help me to teach it, Lord, as you would teach it. Let me just totally decrease, Lord, and I need only you to teach through me this morning these incredible, incredible truths that belong to every true believer. Bless this day, O God. We're so thankful that you are with us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Turn your Bibles this morning to Colossians. We're in chapter 2. I pray that you were here last Sunday for part 1 of this message. If not, you missed the first shot, and today you're getting the second shot, okay? So we're going to, the title of the message again is the only vaccine against heresy, part 2. Did you know that Facebook blocked the title? I didn't know that. I didn't know they could do that. I was informed, and it's like they had a thing on the front of it that said, if you want information about COVID-19, you can go to this site, because we only put the vaccine on it, the only vaccine. I guess they thought that I was, you know what I mean. But I was in shock. I didn't know. And then Abby had to go and make a correction, put a disclaimer there and everything. And, of course, you know, Facebook apologized, sent this church $10 million. You know that didn't happen. Amen. Man, I'd have 4 or 5 tambourines up here if that occurred. So this morning, we're looking at this word. Loved one, listen, it is vital. The first shot. Remember what happened. Matter of fact, let's just read for a minute. Look at verse 6. And we can't pick up from last Sunday, but just a few words from last Sunday, a few scriptures. Look at verse 6. Talking about all that we did last Sunday now, that first shot. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him, built up in him, established in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. And then it says in verse 8, that word, beware. Remember, I got the title from last week's sermon, this week, of course, part 2, from Wink, who said this about the Colossian the epistle. He said, Colossians is a vaccination against heresy. That's a great word, isn't it? And that's exactly what was happening, is that the false teachers wanted to infect the believers at Colossae, and they'd already infected everyone at Laodicea. Now, remember what a vaccine does. A vaccine is supposed to produce immunity against a specific disease. Amen? Now, the one we're talking about this morning is, of course, the Gnostics, the false teaching, and so forth. So last Sunday, we got that first shot, which enabled us to band together, shoulder to shoulder, as one person, rooted, grounded in Christ, and so forth, so we could stand against the onslaught of the false teachers. But the second shot, just like the second shot they say today, and I'm not talking about the vaccine, you know what I mean, but they say, you're double immunity or something. Double immunity. You know what I'm saying. No, listen. The word that we have this morning. Man, listen. This is vital. These scriptures. To be immune from false teaching, to be able to catch it immediately, to be able to pronounce what it is, a lie from hell. Amen? then what you have to do is, from the scriptures we're going to cover this morning, you have to not only know them, you have to believe in your heart everything that is in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because I promise you, the devil, just like the Gnostics, the devil has an infection. He loves to infect believers. Lost people are already infected. Amen? And they're also contagious. Listen, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, how good you are. Listen, here's the deal. The false teachers, what did they want to do? They wanted, as I said earlier, to infect every believer in Colossae. And you know what? That's what they desire to do today. False teaching and false prophets, they haven't changed at all. So we know that they had invaded this little church. We know that they were challenging, removing, if you are redefining the supremacy of Christ, his deity, his humanity, his sacrificial sufficiency for our sins and so forth. So with all that being said, we know that they trusted, remember, they knew Jesus or believed in Jesus, but it wasn't enough. They had to trust Jesus plus something else, this secret knowledge or this secret mystery, this initiation, whatever it was. In other words, then you had finally arrived and then you were truly saved. Now listen, verse 8 is paramount. I said that last Sunday. Paul says, beware. And the reason false teaching, whether it's then or today, they infect people, they infect believers with lies, and they always attack the supremacy of Christ, telling you that Jesus is not enough. One more thing now. Verse 8, or actually all of Colossians, but let's just take verse 8. It is not written to the lost. It's written to believers, for believers to beware. And this morning, there is a key word that I pray you just, it burns into your mind, it burns into your heart. And the key word this morning is the word complete. Say that with me, complete. Isn't that a great word? It's complete. If something is complete, do you add anything else to it? No, I worked 8 hours. I'm completely off now. I am done. You understand what I mean? Complete means totally, absolutely finished. Here is the final shot. Here is the only vaccine. If you believe these scriptures with all of your heart, not implying that you don't, but if you make sure that they are alive in your heart, because God's word is alive, you will never, never be taken advantage of by false teachers, okay? Beginning in verse 8, Paul the apostle, writing from prison with all of his heart stirred in love, he says this to the people he's never seen. He says, beware, be on guard, take heed, lest anyone, what? Cheat you. You look up that word in the Greek and you know what you're going to find? It's only found here in the New Testament, not used anyplace else. It means this. In the ancient writings, Greek writings, if you did some research, you would find out that this word means to kidnap. The example in the ancient Greek writings was something like this: the kidnapping of a virgin. Or it means to take the spoil. It means to take captive. It means, and the favorite word, the one I love, is the word kidnap. They want to kidnap you. That's what false teachers do. Listen, false teachers, you know what they are? All of them, then and now, they are men stealers. Listen, they don't win the lost. Do you know that? No, they kidnapped believers. They don't kidnap the lost. The lost are already lost. They want to take you away from Christ Jesus. Listen, they don't want you to know who you are in Christ. So what do? They take you captive. They want to take you away from the truth. They want to make you a slave to error, not a slave to truth. And here is how they do it. Look at their method. It says, and I add, beware of those who want to kidnap you through what? Now there's another word. That word, again, that Paul uses is only here in the New Testament, in the Greek, and so forth. And we know that the philosophy, now don't, let me back up. Don't confuse the word philosophy with the modern definition of philosophy, okay, today. You know, about reality and the study of languages and on all the rest of it, okay, and so forth. So don't confuse it. Paul is not condemning the philosophy of the day. He's condemning the philosophy back then. It wasn't like today. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, listen, the false teachers, man, they didn't love wisdom. You see, philosophy means lovers of wisdom. They didn't love wisdom. They didn't love true wisdom because true wisdom is Christ Jesus. Amen? Colossians 2:3, Jesus is the sum total of all of God's wisdom, all of God's knowledge. He is our treasure. Amen? Containing all of that. So, you know, when I was in college and I had to take philosophy and so forth, the teacher was a believer. And, you know, I don't know why he, like I said in the early service, he liked to pick on me. I don't know if it was because I was he knew that I'd have to forgive him because, you know, or whatnot. I didn't know. But he was always into semantics, you know, phrases and words and meanings. And so, you know, here we are in the class and he goes, Bill, he was from India. He goes, Bill. I said, yes, sir. I knew what was going to happen. And he goes, question for you. In front of all the people. I knew then I was in trouble. And then he says, Bill, how far can a fox run into the forest? I said, okay. I said, I guess he just runs into it, right? Oh, no. You know, how far can a fox run into the forest? Only halfway. Then he's running out of the forest. That really happened, by the way. I hope you don't think I just make these things up. You know, that's a true word. You don't ever forget being embarrassed like that, but I never forgot it. You know, I probably even passed the test, but I don't remember if I did or not. So here's their method and so forth. Listen, the Gnostics were not, again, they were not lovers of wisdom, true wisdom. No, remember their knowledge was false wisdom. Or false knowledge and false wisdom. And they were in love with the mystery, remember? And the mystery was not Jesus Christ. And everything they believed was from hell. You know, the philosophers of long ago, like Nietzsche, remember what he said? He says, God is dead. But most people don't remember the whole sentence. He says, God is dead, God remains dead, and we have killed him. John Lennon, I don't know if you know that, the Beatles, remember? You know, he was a philosopher himself in a way. Here's what John said. He said, it seems to me that the only true Christians were the Gnostics. Isn't that interesting? Who believe in self-knowledge becoming Jesus Christ themselves. You see the wisdom of the world? That's what Paul is talking about. So Paul called their philosophy, Phillips translates it, the word philosophy, intellectualism. He translated, look at it, as he says, here's what it is, empty deceit. In other words, their words that they're speaking to you, they're false. It sounds great. I mean, it may sound convincing, but you know what? It's empty. Another translation says it's high-sounding nonsense. Phillips' translation says it's just a hollow sham. The word empty there means no truth, empty of truth, amen? It's full of nothing but delusion. If you look up the word where it says empty deceit, if you look up the word deceit in the Bible, in the New Testament, you'll find that it is used 19 times. And every time in the New Testament when the word deceit is used, it is used of Satan, of Satan's works and of Satan and all that he does. Listen, Satan is a liar. He is always the lying energy behind every false religion, behind every cult, behind every false gospel, false prophet, and false teacher. Amen? There is only one Savior. His name is Jesus. There is only one gospel, and it's the good news. Amen? There is every other gospel except our gospel that we have here is of. It comes from humans. It doesn't come from God. Now, with all that being said, that word deceit, which in other words, to deceive you is from the devil. Remember that the devil, what did Jesus say about him in John 8:44? He said that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. It all started in the garden, didn't he? you know, with Adam and Eve, and he slayed humanity, if you will. It says there's no truth in him. He doesn't stand in the truth, and so forth. Jesus goes on to say that he is the father of every lie. He cannot speak the truth at all. The devil is the father of every lie that has ever, ever been spoken on this planet. Amen? Oh, listen, he is so wicked, loved one. You know, he's the wickedest fallen angel, and he's on this planet. He hates everything that's good. He hates everything that's holy. He hates faith. He's the father of unbelief. He wants to do more than just kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, no. He wants to do so much more than that. Oh, listen. The devil, his whole existence, he is a lover of sin. He can't enjoy one day unless he is in sin, because sin is his only satisfaction. And the false teachers, then Colossae and those today, they're his ministers, not God's ministers. Do you understand? So he goes and he says, beware of those who kidnap you, right? Try to cheat you, try to take you captive according to the tradition of men. So this tells us where the Gnostics' philosophy, where it came from. It was handed down to them from previous generations, and they were all traditions. Do you understand? According to man, not according to God. Now, with all that being said, you know, there's traditions. You say, well, this is a family tradition. I think they sang a song about that, you know? You know, it's a family tradition. Well, just because it's a family tradition that's been passed down for the last 100 years doesn't mean that it's a good tradition. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, with all that being said here, the false teachers, their traditions were deceptive. And look at the reason why. Because they were according to the basic principles of the world. Now, this is a very debated word, the word principle. If you looked in the Greek and studied it, like every pastor would do, you know, you do a word study, and the word simply means the basics, the elementary basics, such as, for example, it's the scales, the notes on a musical scale. It's used for that word. It's also used as the ABCs, elementary teaching. So Paul, in a way, is hitting the Gnostics. He's going, these Gnostics, these false teachers, although he did not name them, he says, you know what? They're the ABCs. They're like little children. They're learning the alphabet. He says, they don't know a thing. Now, but with all that being said, I believe the definition that should be used here personally, and I've always used the same definition, and I take this definition from Moffat's translation of the Bible because it just fits the text and the context of what we're studying this morning. And Moffat says that word means elemental spirits or demon spirits. Now listen, the Gnostics taught that the fallen angels, okay, which they thought were good angels, but they were actually demons, amen? Okay, they taught that the angels, the fallen angels, and even perhaps the heavenly bodies, the planets, the stars, meaning astrology, they not only controlled the lives of people, but they controlled the destiny of people. And that's what they were teaching there in Colossae. But listen, it says the traditions of this world. That means it wasn't from heaven. Amen? We know that Satan is the god of this age. Bible says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Amen? So with all that being said, we never want to forget this about Satan. His main goal, as I was going to tell you earlier, then I stopped, his main goal really, yes, it's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but his main goal is really not to destroy humanity. His main goal is to have control of humanity. He wants, remember when we get over into Revelation, and it talks about the Antichrist and so forth, and it says that the whole world will worship the beast, the whole world. You know, those who have not taken the mark, Listen, he wants worship. He wants the worship. He wants people to worship him. And that's exactly what he wants. So the God of this age is just like his ministers. They all have the, then and today, they have the same goal. False teaching always wants to do this. It wants to rob you of all of the riches which are only in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? And we're not going to let that happen. And it says, and not according, or literally, not after, according to Christ, that means not after the person of Christ, not the teachings of Christ. So this meant that their teachings were not according to truth, which is Christ. Now, false teachers do this. The Gnostics did it. False teachers do it today. And it's very, very important. The false teachers, they were not telling the saints in Colossae to deny Jesus. They weren't saying that at all. But what they were saying is that, listen, we don't deny him. Of course not. However, if you're really going to make it, if you're really going to get there, you have to make Jesus part of this new system of thought, this new mystery that we're teaching you and so forth. And the reason is because Jesus just isn't enough. And they always, false teachers always deny the supremacy of Christ. You always have to have something more than Jesus. Do you understand? And that's exactly what they were doing. So here's what happens. Paul, now, are you ready for the second shot? Phew, it's good. And it's not going to hurt, okay? I mean, if you've ever had a shot that's going to make you feel good and a shot that's going to make you happy, it's this one right here, because we now move in to some of the greatest passages of Scripture in the New Testament, loved one. Oh, talking about Jesus' deity, his humanity, his sufficiency for our salvation, all of it, Lord, they're glorious passages. And here's the deal. If you truly are going to be immune, and the false teachers are with us today, and they're going to grow worse and worse, believe me, then here's what you have to do. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to. Not only just know it, you have to believe it. So the second shot, here it comes. We are completely complete in Christ Jesus. Let me say it one more time. I like just saying that. I'm going to just say it for me. I am completely complete in Christ Jesus. I don't care how many letters I get. I mean, I just got a letter in the mail. Bill, what I told you 10 years ago, the warnings. Listen, I am completely complete in Christ Jesus. You are completely complete. Do you hear me? You've got to get that into your heart, loved one, because the devil, he'll come against you and he will say, oh, he will lie and lie and lie. And even people. No, we are completely complete in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9. For in Jesus dwells what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The word full, remember, we've already studied it in chapter 1. Pleroma. In other words, Jesus is all that God is, Jesus is. This one scholar said, Jesus is the exhaustion of God Almighty. He's the visible expression of the invisible God. And listen to me. Jesus, his birth at Bethlehem, no man in mankind can own that except one. Only one. His name is Jesus. No man can claim John 1:14 except one man in the entire universe. His name is Jesus Christ. It says in John 1:14, and the Word, that's Jesus, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the glory of only as only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus left heaven, born of a virgin, and the Word became what he had never, ever been, ever. He became flesh, and he was full of the deity of God. He is the God-man, 100% or fully God and fully man. Amen? But the Gnostics, they denied that, loved one. And look at verse 10. I tell you, this is one of the most glorious verses in the Bible. And it says, and you are Calvary Chapel. If you are in Christ, listen to this verse. You are present tense. Write this very moment and forever. You are complete in him. That's the same word, pleru. You're full of Jesus Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Now listen, here's what false teachers offered the Colossae Christians and what false teachers offer us today. They offer us a way. Now, if you have to kind of do this if you really want to be complete. Well, then you're going to have to do this, or you have to do that. And then I can really complete you believers. Well, they do that, the Gnostics, by what? Initiating them into their secrets and all of the other nonsense and so forth. But listen to me now. When you ask Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you were born from above. You were born again. And when you were born again, you were born completely complete. Do you believe that? I'm talking about your position in Christ. Is anything need to be added to Jesus? He's God. He's the creator, the sustainer. He is over all things. To all things belong to him. Listen, he's the King of kings and the Lord of all. You are completely complete in the one who is completely complete. And I look and I say, dear God, that belongs to me. Yes, it says in John 1:16, of his fullness, that pleroma, his fullness, we've all received. It says grace for grace. Man, you know what that second shot is? I'll tell you what it is. It's Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the certain hope of glory, of salvation, of heaven is your home. Oh, loved one, I look at that and I say, listen, you mean we really share his fullness. And listen to me now. It is Christ alone who makes you complete. And he offers that completion to all people. Think about it. Oh, man, we don't need human philosophy, do we? No, I'm not beating it up, but I don't need it. I don't need traditions of men. I don't need that at all. Listen, I have immunity. You have immunity against false teaching. No false teacher, if you believe these truths, believe them, know them, dissect them. No false teaching, no false teacher has the ability to kidnap you. What a word. Because of the word of God. Listen, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, Peter tells us, it says, his divine power has given unto us, past fact, present reality, given unto us all things. Say those words. All things. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? All things. All things for what? He says, all things that pertain to life. All things that pertain to godliness. Here's how it happened. Through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory, meaning when we're into Christ's likeness, from glory to glory to glory, and by virtue, meaning the courage to walk in Christ. Amen. Love, when I look at that and I go, dear God, is that true? It is true. Listen, God has given you everything. Everything you need. That is a divine fact. From a God who cannot lie. He has given you everything. Even Paul the apostle said to the church at Corinth, he says, all things are yours because you're in Christ. You're co-heirs with Christ. He's given us all things. Now listen, you do not need any more. He's given us all things that pertain to life. Think about that. Everything that we need is right here in the Word of God. That's all that we need. Come on. He's given us everything that pertains to godliness. False teachers today, false teachers then, you know what they teach? You need more. You have to move a little bit more, man. You know, you're just not going to make it because, see, Jesus really isn't enough. You know what God says about that? In verse 10, he says it again. He says, Jesus, my son's not enough. Well, here's the deal. You are, right now, you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Listen, this is your divine, holy position in Christ. We are, loved one, listen, we really are. Well, I have issues and I have this and I go through depression or I have this or this or this and I messed up or, you know, I got into, listen to me. The Bible says, nevertheless. I love that word. I'm going to have a sermon on that word. Nevertheless, the foundation, the sure foundation of God stands. And God knows who are His. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, even as messed up as I am right now, yes, Bill, listen to me. You are in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you are completely complete in Him. And then it tells us who is something. Look at it. Who is the head? That word head means source, origin. He is the head, the supreme head. He's the source of all life. He's over everything that exists. Whatever is in this universe, wherever it might be, Jesus is Lord. Amen? And I look, oh God, and we're in Him. Listen, all principality and power. That's talking about, and the Gnostics believed in that principality and power, the fallen angels, but they didn't know they were fallen. Oh, listen. They worship them. Colossians 2:18 says they worship them. And they were teaching people to worship angels as well. Listen to me. Jesus is over everything that there is. He not only sustains everything. He not only created everything. All things are for Him and through Him. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 1:21, it says far above. I love that. Jesus, He is far above everyone, everything. He says, principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also in the age to come. Listen, in Christ Jesus right now, you know, you say, well, whatever you're going through, whatever you're fighting against, whatever your mind is trying to lie to tell you, or the devil is lying, listen to me, you are completely complete in Christ Jesus. That is a glorious word. Don't ever forget that. And not only that, how complete are we? We are completely saved. Look at the next verse. In Him you were, that's past tense, also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. How? By the circumcision of Christ, the new birth, His death, His resurrection, ascension, and so forth. Now listen to me. We are not only completely complete in Christ, we are also completely saved. Does God just partially save people? You know, well, okay, you got to keep doing this and this and this, and then you'll finally get it. No. I'm excited. Aren't you thankful? I mean, love them, we are really completely saved, but I don't know that I feel that way. Who cares? I care what the Word of God says. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by what I feel. If I live by what I feel right now, I'd go sit on the back row. I'd go home and eat. I'd go home and take a nap. But I'm right here by faith. And I say, oh, Lord, we are completely saved. Listen, and here's the deal. See, that verse right there tells us something. It tells us that these Gnostics, these false teachers, you see, once they kidnapped a believer, you know what they did? They put him under legalism. Legalism. Did you know the flesh loves legalism? And if you don't know the Word of God, legalism is appealing because it makes you feel that you can do something to earn God's love, God's favor. Do you understand? You say, if I just do this, God will love me more. No, 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 no. That's legalism. You can't. God already loves you. No, listen. So they started maybe a little bit of a Jewish thought there about circumcision and so forth. And here's what they taught the believer. It's so sad to see a believer that's kidnapped by a false teacher. And they go, well, how old are you in the Lord? I'm just 6 months. Well, have you been circumcised? I have not even heard about it. What does that mean? Whoa, wait. You mean you haven't had the mark on you? You haven't been cut up yet? No, I haven't. Well, then you know what? You're not really complete. Yeah, but I believed in Jesus. Oh, but faith alone is not enough. It's Jesus plus this. Then when you do that, oh, listen, you mark your body. Man, listen, now you've moved up the ladder. Are you following me? Oh, listen, Gnostic legalism taught that circumcision would make you more spiritual. You'd understand the universe. You'd understand what the fault these angels are teaching. You'd be in on the secret. Not only that, you would be now closer to God if you just do certain things. And you know what that'll do? It'll really make you complete. Like I said in the early service, you would be now the spiritual elite when you're circumcised. Or you could put it this way, you would be a cut above the rest. Amen? Now, Paul the Apostle says in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in him, our position, he says circumcision, and I'll say any ritual, you know, baptism. Well, you know, I'll never forget this pastor, and I'm not beating him up. This was years ago. He said, Bill, you're a pastor? And I said, yes. But have you been water baptized? I said, I've been water baptized twice, Atlantic and the Pacific. He said, well, that won't cut it. I said, what do you mean? Well, you're not really complete. Well, what does that mean? You have to be baptized in this church. And if you're not baptized in this church, you're not saved. I'm serious. Do you see what I'm getting at? So it says, Paul said, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or baptized over here, baptized three different ways. No. Any ritual, loved one, it says, nor uncircumcision avails anything. That word avails anything means it contributes nothing to your salvation. And then Paul says, but only a new creation. The Bible says in Philippians 3:3, it says, we, the Christian, we are the circumcision, or we are really the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen, religion is always external. Something I can do. The only thing you can do to be saved is open your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus be the Lord of my life. That's it. Then you get baptized. Does that make sense? Oh, man, listen, remember what Jesus said? He said in John 6:63, he says, it's the spirit who gives life, the flesh. It doesn't profit anything. It doesn't profit anything at all. Listen, here's the deal. In that verse 11, we just learned something. Our hearts have been permanently, completely, eternally marked by Jesus Christ. We've had surgery, but it wasn't a physical surgery. It was made without hands. Jesus did it himself. Amen. Oh, and I look, I say, Lord, thank you for that divine surgery. We have been circumcised. And you know what? Circumcision can't be undone. Amen. It's permanent. You mean, Lord, I'm permanent. Yes. God doesn't save people and then lose people. Does it? If you're truly saved, he'll truly keep you. Amen. Now, listen, our old man, that slave who wants to rule, it says in Romans 6:6, it says, we have been crucified. Our old man has been crucified. Amen? Let me read it to you. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified together with Christ, that the body of sin, the command post, the old nature, okay, it says, be done away with. Now, it's not completely annihilated. We know that. But it is rendered inoperative by Christ, amen? But you still have to keep putting off the old man, amen? Because he wants to sit upon the throne of your heart every day, believe me. He says, been rendered inoperative that we should no longer be a slave of sin. I'm so thankful that we're no longer in Adam. And you know what? The old man was a slave because slavery was all that he knew. That's why it didn't bother him, the old Billy, to be a slave to lust or a slave to this. That's what you are in Adam. But now I'm not. I'm free, and so are you. Now look at it now. Not only that, it says in verse 12, we were entombed, or we were buried with him, not in him, but with him. Look at that, in baptism. That's not speaking of water baptism. This is 1 Corinthians 12:13, where by one spirit we were all baptized into the body. In other words, the new birth when you ask Christ to be your Lord. Look at it again. Buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him. How? Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Listen, Jesus' death was our death. Like Paul the Apostle, he told us, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but the Son of God who lives in me. Amen? It's the same thing for us. Christ's death was our death. Christ's burial was our burial. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Our position right this moment in Christ, no matter how you feel, no matter how bad your day may have started off or will be tomorrow or how good it is, right this minute, our position is Ephesians 2:6. We have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Right now, as far as God's concerned, you're already home. Does that make sense? We're with Christ. That's our position. And it's eternal. It can never, ever be changed. Jesus not only died for me, loved one, for you. Jesus died as me. Oh, I'm not partially saved. No, I'm not halfway saved. Listen, you're either a saint or you ain't. Amen? That's exactly right. Oh, listen, and it says, and you, past tense, is what we used to be. You is plural, every person. You being what? Dead. Dead. That word dead is only used for lost people. The word that, we don't die, we depart. Amen? It says here, and you being dead, I mean dead, you're not ill, you're not sick, you're not on a fibrillator, you understand? You're dead. It says, and you being dead in trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, meaning the sins of the body. Loved one, listen, this word is incredible. Before we were in Christ, we were dead to God. We were separated from God. And we were alive to sin and trespassing against God. Anyone outside of Christ is spiritually dead. They go through the activities of this life, but they do not possess spiritual life. Does that make sense? They're separated from Almighty God. And you know, the world today, they throw so much at you. So many, this will help you. You can Google anything. You can read stuff before you finally you just say, I'm so confused now, I don't even know what's going on in my life. Do you understand? Read the Word, you'll never be confused. God's not the author of confusion, amen? But you can go memorize the traditions of men, memorize the philosophers. You know, when I was in college, you had to read all these books, you know, like Plato, you know, Aristotle, Kant, Nietzsche, and Bugs Bunny, and I don't, you know, all kinds of things. You know, the world, you can be like John Lennon. I told the first service, you know, I don't like to sing, but you know, John Lennon, you know, imagine. Okay. Well, imagine all you want. But here's the deal. You know, I'm not going to sing it either. Yeah, I'll just say the words. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Remember? He wrote all of that. You know, imagine all the people. And then it goes, remember, living for today. Ooh. I'm sorry. You know, there's some kind of sickness in me. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You can read all of that. You can sing any song of the world, and a person will remain spiritually dead in trespasses and sins unless they come to Christ. And listen, we're not dead. Look what he's done. And he, Jesus, has made alive together with him. That's us, loved one. Made us alive together. I'm talking about his kind of life. And it says, having forgiven. That's past tense. How many? Oh, having forgiven you. Say it, heaven forgiving, you're forgiven. All trespasses. Listen to me, I'm not only completely complete in Christ, as goes for you, I'm not only completely saved in Christ Jesus, I am completely forgiven in Christ Jesus, amen? I mean completely. The word forgiven means to send away, to carry away, far as the east is from the west, loved one, they're gone. God's forgiveness is complete forgiveness. Think about that. You're forgiven. You really are forgiven. The Bible says in Romans 4:7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds or transgressions are forgiven, meaning carried away, whose sins are canceled. I love that. My sin has been canceled. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, impute means he will never credit sin to your account. Never. Did you hear that? Oh, I look at, wait a minute. How can that be? 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Listen to me. God treated not you. He treated Jesus, his only son, as if he had sinned all the sins of the whole world. Yet he was without sin. All the sin of mankind was placed upon him at the cross. He took all of it, every bit of it. He died the death that was deserved for you and me. He died the death that was deserved for sinners. Why? That we might become, that people would believe in him and receive the righteousness of God, which is only by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, loved one, you know, I think about that. Listen, there was a real transfer of sin. Here's the sin of all of the world, and there is the cross, and there is our Savior, and it was laid upon him. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. Past, present, future. Jesus, all the sins, every iniquity, every transgression, every lie, every fornication, every adult, all the hate, all the murder, all of the incest, all of the sexual sin, everything in the world. Do you understand? It was all laid upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There was a real transfer of sin. But wait, when you are born again, there goes my sin. Amen? Now listen, it's already paid for. Now there is a real imputation of Christ's righteousness. Remember, imputation is where you take it, it takes something that belongs to somebody else and put it into your account. Amen? Yes. And I go, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That is incredible. You mean that I now, my position in Christ is I have perfect righteousness? That's exactly right. You have the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus to your account. That is your spiritual position. Well, Bill, but I sinned. Then you better run to God. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all sin. Amen? Now listen to me. God now treats you. You go to your Father in prayer. You run to the throne of grace. You talk to him during the day. Whatever it might be, God treats you right now, Christian, and forever, as if you had been perfectly obedient, completely obedient, just as Christ was. Think of that. Man, that belongs to you. It's if you have never sinned. That's your position. I'm not talking about our practice. I'm talking about our spiritual position in Christ. Listen, let's really get a handle on our sin. Look at the next verse, would you? Man, we are completely forgiven, and look at it, verse 14. Having wiped out, that's not talking about surfing, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was what? Against us. It wasn't for us. What was not for us? The law. The law was our taskmaster. It never told you you're doing great. It said you're guilty. It never helped you. It was powerless to save. No, it says, which was not only against us, but it was contrary to us. Now, let me define that a little better. That's a legal word, okay? Contrary to us, it means binding us legally. We're bound legally, okay? Now, and he, meaning Jesus and no one else, he has taken it out of the way, the handwriting that was against us, contrary to, he's taken it out of the way. He has removed it. Having what? Nailed it to the cross. Listen to me. Nailed it to him. Now, the word having wiped out is a great word, or the word wiped out. It means canceled. Do you understand? It's been canceled. The debt has been canceled. You know, the word wipe out, it means, yes, to wipe clean. It means to blot out. It means like erasing a chalkboard, okay? It's used in Revelation where it says, and God shall wipe away every tear from your eye. Okay, same word. Now listen. It says, having wiped out or having canceled the handwriting which was against us and contrary us. Okay, what handwriting was that? That was the handwriting of Almighty God. Remember on the mount, Moses on the mount with the Lord receiving the Ten Commandments and the stones, and the finger of God wrote on them. Remember? The Ten Commandments, which we have not kept, which is contrary to us, which we failed in every way. Loved one, listen, the Bible teaches us in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All mankind is guilty before God. All of mankind has signed that legal debt. In other words, an IOU. Mankind has an IOU, let's put it that way. Let me read to you what one scholar wrote. I love this. He says this: what was signed by Adam, meaning in the garden, okay, and imputed to all humans, when Adam sinned, we all sinned, amen? That's why death came into the world. It says, what was signed by Adam and imputed, put into our account, to all humans that held power over us by Satan is wiped clean. That word literally has been completely canceled. Loved one, listen to me. We really are completely forgiven and completely cleansed from all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God now, because of Christ nailing it to the cross, listen to me, He has canceled that legal certificate of debt. It's like you didn't owe a thing in the world. Why? It says because Christ paid it Himself. Look at it. Having, that's past tense, nailed it to the cross. Listen, everything I've ever done wrong, all of my sin, every lie, every wicked thought, every horrible judgment, every shame, no matter what I've done, everything that was displeasing to God, I could write a book and you could write a book and it would go on and on and on. Do you understand me? That debt, that book is completely canceled. Past, present, future. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, what did Pontius Pilate do? He commanded that upon the cross above Jesus' head, that placard, amen? And that placard said what? In three different languages. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Remember? Now that was his debt, if you will. Look at it that way. That's why they crucified him. That was what he was charged with. Listen, when God the Father looked down from heaven and he covered the earth with darkness for those 3 hours while Jesus was being made the sin of the world, bearing the sin of the world in him who knew no sin, listen, that placard, God didn't go, oh, look what they've written. He said, no, that placard belongs to all mankind. Every sin of the world. There's the book. And you know what God says? My son just erased that book completely if you put your faith in him. Oh, loved one, we are completely forgiven. We are completely saved. And we are completely complete in him. Amen. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You know, the Greek poet 400 years before the birth of Christ, Athagon, he said this, the poet, he said, oh, even God cannot change the past. He changed my past. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:25, listen to what God says. He says, I, even I, am him who blots out your transgressions. And he says, for my sake, for my name's sake, you couldn't do it. I did it for me. I sent my only begotten son. He says, and I will not remember your sins. Listen to me. I look and I say, oh, Lord, in Christ, we are completely complete. We are completely saved. We are completely forgiven, which means this. Right this very minute, we have complete, perfect acceptance to God the Father. Think about that. We can go to the throne of grace and we are accepted. The Bible says in Ephesians, 1:7, that we are accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ. That means that God the Father loves you just as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, if when God looks at you because you are now in Christ, your position, he says, oh, there's not one written accusation against you It's been wiped clean. It's been canceled. Therefore, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in your position in Christ Jesus our Lord. Quickly, I know I need to hurry. The last one, Colossians 2:15. Oh, this is incredible. Look what Jesus did to the one who wants to kidnap every person in their generation. And you know what's wonderful? We, because of Jesus, we now have complete victory over the wicked one. Look at this. It says, having disarmed, that word literally is stripping, a powerful word in the Greek. It's almost like, you could say, ripping a person's arm off, okay? He says, having disarmed what? Principalities and powers, the fallen angels, Satan, all the demons. Look what he did to them. He made a public spectacle of them. I love that. It's like a parade, okay? Triumphing over them in it. What is it? The cross. The cross, loved one. Listen, the false teachers, they were kidnapped by the ones they were serving. Think about that. And they were worshiping these angels and all the rest of it. How foolish they were. Listen, the false teachers were taken captive by the greatest kidnapper in the world, the devil himself. In Paul's day, there he was in a Roman prison, and maybe that thought came into his mind by the power of the Holy Spirit as he looked at that Roman guard. But remember what Rome did back then? The Roman general, they'd go out to war and they would bring back the booty, they would bring back the prisoners, and what did they do? There would be an incredible parade. Sometimes it was 3 days long. There'd be garlands and flowers and celebration and thousands of people cheering as that general was leading all the captives in chains to die in Rome. Man, that's a picture of what Jesus, the commander-in-chief, has done for us. Look at them. Look at them. Look at those demons. Look at Satan himself in chains, being paraded in front of the entire universe. The ones that used to worship Jesus Christ in heaven, amen? Now, and then they fell. And now look at them. They're defeated. They're on their knees. They're in chains. And they're in chains of darkness, of chains of blackness and darkness forever and ever and ever. Do you understand? He defeated them and he publicly exposed them for all that they were. Listen to me now. I know it's time to go, but give me two more minutes. In Christ Jesus, I'm talking about being in Christ Jesus. Right this minute, we have complete victory over the devil. Do you understand? You've got to get that into your heart. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Listen, do you believe that? Man, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of the wicked one touches us not. He can tempt us, but he cannot touch us, loved one. Listen, we know the devil exists. He's not bound. He's not on a chain. We know the devil exists. We know that fallen angels, the demons exist. But they all exist defeated because of Christ Jesus. And we are in Christ Jesus. We're the only people on this entire planet that has any protection against the wicked one because we have the full armor of God and because we're in Christ Jesus. Every Christian, I don't care what you're facing and what you're battling right now. Listen, I do care, but I'm helping you. Every believer, no matter how bad you're hurting, no matter how great your need is today, every believer not only stands in victory, every believer, loved one, fights the battle against wickedness from a place of victory. The devil always fights his battle from a place of defeat because he is defeated and Jesus did it. Amen. You never want to forget that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God who always, not sometimes, always leads us in triumph or victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. On the darkest day of your life, no matter how bad you may feel, I tell you, he is leading you in perfect, complete victory because our Savior has overcome the world. Amen. And I look at that and I say, dear God, there's no one like you. Oh, loved one, listen. Jesus won the battle for us. James 4:7, submit unto God. Resist the devil and he will. Oh, he's running right now. Oh, listen. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Don't be weak. Be strong in the power of His might. Amen. Oh, listen, we have won the battle. Now, at 10 minutes after 12, you have received the second shot. You have your card. You can carry it with you no matter where you go. Do you understand? You have been fully vaccinated. Put it in your pocket. And if they ask you, have you been vaccinated? You say, yep, got two shots. Yep. I am immune from every false teaching in the world, amen, because I have taken the shot. And here's the thing I've learned. Jesus is all I need. And I am completely complete in Him and completely forgiven in Him, amen. I have all the victory because I am in the one who obtained it for me. There's only one vaccine. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, every Christian praying, listen to me, I love you. I'm not asking you to join Calvary Chapel, but here's what I'm asking you to do. If you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, oh, please be reconciled unto God. Come to Christ Jesus right now. You don't even have to get out of your chair. All you have to do is lift your hand and say, Bill, I want to be saved. I want to be complete because I know I'm not complete. I want to be forgiven because I know I'm not forgiven. I just want to lift my hand. If that's you, lift it and put it right back down. I'll not call you down here. I'll ask no more. One more time. If that's you, I beg you in Christ Jesus, please put your hand up and put it right back down. Father, I'm assuming that everyone here is saved, just like the first service. But if you're listening live right now and you're not saved, do what I just asked you to do. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. And I'll tell you something. You will be completely saved today. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Isn't this, what a great day, amen? Can I keep you just a few minutes longer? Oh.